Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna along with audio engineer Yatharta signing in from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. You're tuned to Thursday Live on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. Welcome to Morning Glory. Today is the 11th of April 2013. The time in the studio right now is 9:50 a.m. I beg your indulgence for starting Morning Glory just a few minutes too late. This is because the Ugadi program in the mandir just got over. Current temperature in the Divine Valley is 30 degrees Celsius and the mercury is expected to rise to 41 degrees Celsius later in the day. Various communities across India are celebrating their New Year's Day today. Here is wishing all our listeners Happy Ugadi, Navre Mubarak, and the greetings on Gudi Padwa, Thapna, Cheti Chand. These are the names used in various parts of India to mark the New Year of communities as diverse as the Telugu and Kannada, the Kashmiri Pandits, the Maharashtrians, the Rajasthanis, and the Sindhis. Very interestingly, the Hindus in Bali, Indonesia, and Mauritius also celebrate their New Year today. So here is wishing all our listeners in Bali, Mauritius, and the Indians celebrating their New Year today a fantastic future. And for the rest of you out there, today happens to be the very first day of the rest of your lives. So here is wishing you also a life full of Swami's blessings ahead. In Prashanti Nilayam, we're always celebrating the joys of life. We hope you enjoyed the live Ugadi program from the mandir that was aired earlier on. And now the devotees are dispersing after Mahasamadhi Darshan. Some of them are headed to the Western Canteen for a quick breakfast. You know, the very popular menu, porridge, fruit salad, cheese toast, stuff like that. Others are stopping by the various kiosks in the ashram for a latte or a cappuccino. The ashram bakery always has a lineup of eager beavers wanting to get their share of freshly baked breads, rolls, pizza, cakes. And then, of course, we have the shopping complex. A trip to Prashanti Nilayam is not complete without some retail therapy, be it a packet of vibhuti or a new picture of Swami, a new sari, or maybe a suitcase to carry it all back. But have you ever wondered, how do these various canteens, stores, bakery, the coffee kiosks, and the snack bars function like a well-oiled machine in the ashram? Who manages them? And how did they come about in the first place? Well, wait no more. Under Spotlight PN, today we have a studio guest, Mr. J.T. Mohan Rao, the head of the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh, to tell us about this umbrella body that oversees the functioning of the various facilities that Bhagwan Baba has personally set up for the convenience of his devotees here in his ashram. Following this live conversation with Mr. Mohan Rao, I'm delighted to play on this special auspicious Ugadi day the very first part of another in-house FMLM, that is Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with my colleague, Brother Raghuram Bhatt. Dear listeners, you simply cannot afford to miss this one. I will tell you more about it later on the show. And dear sisters and brothers, Bhagwan Baba has a special New Year gift for all Radio Sai listeners around the world. Today, on the auspicious Ugadi day, with His grace, we are launching, and Yatharta, I think I can use a little bit of a drum roll or something here, please. Thank you, Yatharta. Yes, today on Ugadi 2013, Bhagwan has a special gift for you. It is entirely in response to your continuous prayers and requests that the Radio Sai tablet is finally here. Yes, you heard it right. It's a handheld device that allows you to listen to Radio Sai wherever you are. No more worries about having complicated computer access. No more worries about the closure of the world space receiver sets and whatnot. Only joy and divine glory are yours to enjoy from today onwards. Thank you, Swami, for the Radio Sai tablet. The device is available in the Sai Blossom store located right outside our office here in the ashram. And I'll give you lots more details about this wonderful gift from Swami later in the show as we go along. For now, let me tell you that this is a must-have for every Sai devotee and the perfect gift for anyone seeking Swami's Divine Company 24/7. You're going to love it, with as well as without the internet. So that is the catch. That is the main, not a catch, I should say, that is the highlight of this product. You can enjoy Swami's Divine Company with or without internet on this tablet. So stay tuned to Morning Glory for details coming up a bit later. But right now, our special guest has arrived in the studio and it is my pleasure to introduce you to Mr. J.T. Mohan Rao of the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh. Mr. Mohan Rao first came to Bhagwan Baba in the year 1964. That is 49 years ago. His life story is full of divine grace and blessings. Professionally, he has held a distinguished career as an engineer, having worked with premier Indian companies such as the Tatas and Engineers India Limited. In 2008, he relocated to Puttaparthi after retiring as the Vice President Projects at the Reliance Refinery in Jamnagar, Gujarat. Sairam sir, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday night.
Thank you.
Sir, the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh seems to be the common element in many of the services that the devotees enjoy in the ashram. Yet most of us know very little about it. So would you please tell our listeners, what is the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh and why was it formed? Is it like a cooperative?
No, you see, basically, Bhakta Sahayak Sangh started by Bhagawan in the year 1970.
I see.
So if you know, at that time, Puttaparthi is a very small village.
Definitely.
Nothing is available around Puttaparthi. So for the convenience of devotees, Swami has created, this is basic necessities for the life of devotees. For example, basic necessity is the food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he has created three canteens, one by one. One first is the South Indian canteen. Basically, at that time, most of the people are from the South India. Most of the devotees are coming from South India.
Yeah.
So South Indian food, South Indian delicious are made in that time. And subsequently, a lot of people came from North India. So they are not able to enjoy the South Indian food. So for the benefit of North Indian people, for the people who like chapatis and all that, so North Indian canteen, we call it as a Punjabi canteen, has started. Then subsequently, a lot of Westerners started coming here. So Westerners, they will not be able to release the Indian food. So that's why they started preparing the Western food, they're delicious and all that. So that's why the Western canteen has started. So for all these campers, all the food items, basic requirement is milk. So without milk, you will not be able to do. And this is the Puttaparthi being a very small village, you will not be able to get large quantity of milk to meet the requirement of all the people.
And it's very arid, so it's very little grazing happening here, very little livestock traditionally.
Right. So that's why they started the Gokulam. Gokulam means lot of, about 400 cows are there today.
Wow.
About out of 400 animals, about 100 cows gives us the milk. So this milk is given to not only the canteens, but also the primary school students, college students, all the hostels. So this milk is made. Then subsequently, that's why the Gokulam has started. See, next is for all the devotees coming outside, because village cannot meet all the devotees' requirement. For the daily needs, small things, they started the Prashanti general stores.
Mm-hmm.
So which gives all, meets all the daily requirements of the people. See, not only that, Swami is of the opinion that devotees should not leave the ashram.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the ashram, it is not so much spiritual as is within side.
Oh, definitely.
So he wanted to make sure that the devotees need not go out of the compound of the ashram. So that their life, their time is mostly concentrated on the spiritual aspects. So that's the purpose he has created the general stores, so that it meets all our daily requirements for the people. Similarly, see, for there are a lot of devotees are permanently staying inside the ashram. So he doesn't want them also to go outside the ashram and then mix with the people. So for their, they prepare the food in their house. For that, they require vegetables, fruits and all that.
Mm.
So the vegetable shop has started for that. So vegetables not only which are not available outside also, they brought it from Bangalore and all that.
Mm.
And also special fruits which the foreigners like it. They
I noticed you have avocados and kiwis and rainbow peppers.
Right. So all these things are brought from Bangalore.
Asparagus, which is very unexpected to find in Puttaparthi.
Yeah, because there are other people, they are not used to this kind of thing. They are not aware that these things are the requirement. So that's why the vegetable shop and the fruit shop has started. Similarly, for the residents inside the ashram, for their cooking, they require a gas.
Yeah.
So the gas division has started to supply the gas to the people, to the residents as well as the hostels and all that. Similarly, see, the very poor people are there in the residing ashram. So the government of Andhra Pradesh gives the rations for these people at a very low price.
Mm-hmm.
So the ration shop has started there so that to serve the people inside who are staying inside the ashram.
So thoughtful and convenient.
Yeah, that's yeah. So these are basic needs of all the people are seen and they are implemented here there so that they don't have to move out of the ashram premises. Their life is concentrated on the spiritual aspects and Swami only, nothing else.
Yeah, because that's what you originally come to Parthi for,
yeah.
Not for shopping outside in the streets.
Yeah, that is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, the Westerners also like a lot of bakery products, bread and all that. That is their main item which they like it. So there is a bakery I started. So after the Westerners started, of course, Indians also started liking the bakery items and all that. So that's why the bakery has started. Then of course all the children and the elders also enjoy ice cream.
Oh, for sure.
So that's why the ice cream.
It's a very popular spot, the
yeah.
Ice cream kiosk.
So that's why the ice cream shop has started. So like this, and also the people coming from various people, they need to communicate with their relatives, with their friends, what is happening here, then how they are enjoying their life and all that. So that's why the telephone booth has started and is much cheaper than outside.
Oh, definitely. The rates are so much more economical inside.
And they can communicate with their people without leaving the ashram compound.
Yeah.
So that is how these one facility after another facility is started. Similarly, the canteens are not available 24 hours a day. So that's why for people who want to have some refreshments in and bed, so the kiosk and all that they have started so that they can sell coffee, tea and other items which the people like to have in between. So a lot of kiosks have been started like this. So that's why this is called, the main basic idea name given by Swami is Bhakta Sahayak Sangh. Bhakta means devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Sahayak means helping the devotees. The Sangh means Samiti, which helps the devotees.
The group that has been formed for helping devotees.
For helping devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why all the necessities of the devotees are met by Bhakta Sahayak division activities.
How beautiful. And it sounds like the ashram is a completely self-sufficient township inside, within the four walls of Prashanthi Nilayam. We have everything available.
Yes, that is right. That is the purpose. So that your concentration is on the spiritual aspect, not on worldly things.
Mm.
And also is very cheap compared to outside.
Oh, I can vouch that for sure.
Yeah.
It is definitely. Now, listening to you, there are so many different things the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh is doing. Would you like to give our listeners an overall panoramic view of what are the various units? There are the three canteens, the South Indian, the North Indian, and the Western.
Canteen.
Then
and
there is the dairy, the Gokulam.
Gokulam. Then we have the Prashanthi General Stores.
Which is the shopping complex.
Which is the shopping complex. Then we have the vegetable and fruit stores. Then we have the gas division. Then we have the Amaravati stores, which supplies ration to the poor people living inside the ashram. Then we have the bakery, and we have the ice cream, which supplies the ice cream to the various people, children. They enjoy a lot.
And then we have the cold drink and juice stalls and the snack bars.
Yes, for the kiosks, for the people in between, someone refreshment, they can have those kind of things.
You know which is my favorite? In General Hospital, you have a small presence. Would you like to tell our listeners about it?
Mostly it is ice cream and also the...
There is food and snacks as well.
Food and snacks as well, because there are a lot of patients come there. They cannot go out and all that.
And it's so convenient to quickly go and grab something there. Now, when this Gokulam was being set up, where you said you have 400 cows, what were some of the instructions that Baba gave?
See, the Baba gave, basically dairy farm. You have the old animals, we have barren animals. So Baba said is, he has spoke a lot about the Gokulam. See, in Hindu culture we call cow as a Gomata. Divine mother. See, Swami has created, he told about five mothers. One is Deha Mata, mother who has given birth to this body.
Hmm.
Then Desha Mata, this is a country or the land where we are staying, Desha Mata. Next he has given the importance to the Gomata. So Gomata, you see, in the Hindu culture, Gomata contains everything whatever is required for the world, for the people. So that's why it is worshipped. Gomata is worshipped like on different occasions. Cows are donated to various people. That is considered as a good act and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Next, of course, our next given is the Veda Mata, which gives us Vedas. Then the response is given to... Bhumata,
the mother earth.
Mother earth. So that's why he has given a lot of importance to Gokulam. Then he visited Gokulam many times. And also the worldly aspects, people will look for the money only. So the cows which gives milk, they are retained. Old cows are disposed of. So, but Swami said, no, don't dispose of your old cows. They are like your, will you dispose of your mother and father because they have become old? So you retain them in the same fashion. You retain the cows also till their natural death. And then you take care of them. They may not be able to give you the profit, but here the purpose, profit is not the motto. Purpose is to serve the people. They are also animals. I mean, they are also like, we see God in them also. So you have to protect them as long as they live.
Oh, that's so compassionate. Yeah. In this world where dairy farming has become such a ruthless business, yeah. Swami is so loving because all the animals that don't produce are sent to the slaughterhouse or just sent out.
Correct.
Left to die outside.
Yes.
But we look after all our livestock.
Yes, till their last breath.
Oh,
we take care of them.
That is something so special. Now let's talk about each of the units inside the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh. I believe there is a very nice partnership between the retail outlets and the South Indian canteen, and the sole objective of this relationship is to help devotees. Would you like to elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, that is the reason, because the South Indian canteen gives a breakfast, lunch, dinner, evening snacks. But in between, if somebody wants to have some coffee or tea, some kind of thing, there is a purpose, the various kiosks have been created. So that any time they come, because people come at different points of time, so they may not come at the right time, and also canteen has to work, people working there also, they have to have some rest also. So in between time, when nothing is available in the canteen, at least they'll have something to eat. That is the purpose these kiosks have been created.
But I'm asking more in terms of the economic model, where the profits from the South Indian canteen are used to subsidize from the retail are used for subsidizing the South Indian canteen to keep the prices so low.
Yeah, that is the reason. You see, basically, the prices of the food item, with 10 rupees, you can get full meal.
And unlimited.
So, unlimited. See, nowhere else it will be available at that rate. Even breakfast is also 4 rupees per plate. You can take.
It's hard to believe in 2013 a person can have a very lavish breakfast for 8 rupees with drinks and multiple items and everything.
Yeah, so that because we cannot. So in the process, if you see from economically, it is a loss to the canteen. But Swami is more particular about helping the poor people. So different people coming from different places, different economic background, they should live comfortably with minimum expenses.
Yeah, so but then, food inflation in India is running at double digits. How do you maintain these low prices?
See, basically there are, of course, quite a number of devotees are there who donate a lot of things as a kind, in the form of kind.
Like groceries and grains?
Grains, groceries and all that. Apart from that, of course, the general stores what we have, we make some profit. So the profit is distributed both for canteen, South Indian canteen, as well as Gokulam. Gokulam also, because we have to maintain old animals and all that. From the economics point of view, it is not economical, but we wanted to retain them. We want to maintain them as per Swami's instruction. So whatever profit is, the main purpose is not to make profit, just to break even. So whatever little bit profit we have, we try to adjust there where we are getting the losses, so that overall we'll break even.
Oh, that's such good dharmic capitalism. That's incredible. So that's how you manage the South Indian canteen. Tell us a little bit more about the other two canteens that cater to North Indian palates and the Western food.
See, North Indian canteen also, the prices are very reasonable compared to outside, but they are little higher than the South Indian canteen, because they make a different varieties to suit the taste of the North Indian people and all that. Similarly, the situation with the Western canteen also, because the taste of the Westerns are different, so to suit their taste, their preparations are made. When most of the people in Western canteen, the food preparation is also done by the Westerns only. Very few Indians are there, they do honorary service there, starting from vegetable cutting, food preparation, serving, cleaning, everything is done by the Westerns only. So that is the reason why we are able to maintain the price at a lower level compared to outside.
So basically most of the people working are volunteers. You're not paying too many salaries here.
Right, sir.
Okay, it's just part of the seva culture of the ashram.
Right.
That's beautiful. I have a question about one of my favorite kiosks that the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh runs, the ice cream stall. Do we make our own ice cream here?
One devotee is there, he supplies the ice cream mix.
Mm-hmm.
So then we mix with other items, make ice cream here.
Okay.
And also if we compare the prices, we sell at 50% of the outside price.
Oh, I know because, that for
because,
sure.
Because the devotee gives at a reduced price. Mm-hmm. So we don't, our intention is not to make any profit. Whatever the devotee gives, we'll
just
give it to the devotees.
Pass it on to the devotees. Yeah. Now that takes me to my next question. I often find the pricing very reasonable when I buy anything inside the ashram, whether it's at the four-storied or is it three-storied shopping complex or any of the kiosks. And sometimes I buy big-ticket items and I find I'm paying a lot less than what is printed on the tag. For example, the manufacturer puts a suggested retail price of 87 rupees and I end up paying 69. How do we do this?
So basically the manufacturers, they give you a discount to these retail person. So that commission, we don't want to retain that commission with us because other outside people, they try to retain that commission with them.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami has made it clear that our margin, markup price and this purchase price should not be more than 9%.
Oh, divine number, 9%.
Divine number.
So no more than 9.
No more than 9.
But it can be less than 9.
It can be less than 9.
Okay.
So what we try to do, whatever the discount the supplier gives it, we'll pass it on to the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So we charge just 9% to cover our overheads, whatever the expenses in required, plus to make up other expenses like the where we are incurring loss in the case of South Indian canteen, Gokulam and all that. So it meets all the requirements.
Beautiful. And I guess our overheads are low because much of our staff is volunteer and the building Swami has made a beautiful building and you don't pay any rent to it as such.
Yes, it's very nominal, of course. This comes under the Sadhana Trust.
Uh-huh.
So that is a central trust. So as a trust to trust, as per the Indian laws, we give some nominal rent to the central trust.
Mm-hmm.
So as a commercial activity.
But it's nothing like one of those big stores in commercial street in Bangalore or something that are paying huge
very, very nominal.
I see. Would you like to tell us how many people work for the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh? I mean, both as volunteers and paid employees.
See, there are about 600 people working here.
600?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a huge number. So quiet.
Yes. Yeah. Out of 600 people, about 300 people are working on honorary basis.
Mm-hmm.
See, maybe after retirement they came here or with Swami's permission they came here, they're staying here.
Mm-hmm.
So they have got some energy so they can do the free service. So they do the free service here because of staying inside the ashram, wherever Swami Darshan they have, bhajans and all they attend. So rest of time, at least they spend the time in serving the people.
What a nice way to spend your retirement.
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, now there are some paid staff on your rolls as well, aren't there?
Yes. See, we are on the payment side, we have two categories of people. About some people we are saying honorary services which they are giving. Some people they are economically little sound. So they require some expenses to meet their daily needs because they are not economically sound.
Mm.
So we pay them some kind of honorarium
to make up
their daily requirements.
Okay.
So about 120 numbers of such kind of people are there.
Who receive only an honorarium.
Which is quite modest. Very, very modest and very nominal.
Mm.
And we have got regular people, workers, working about 140 numbers are there. So we gave them the salaries as per the government regulations.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I notice you have barcoding, debit card, payment, all kinds of latest retail innovations. What technologies are you bringing in to further improve the stores?
See, of course, a lot of ideas are there. We are trying to introduce a credit card system so that anywhere, our rates are very cheap, then you require change wherever you go there.
Yeah.
You have to purchase there. So the availability of change also becomes some constraint sometimes, many times. So we are trying to introduce a credit card system. Once you purchase a credit card system, anywhere you can exchange whatever you want there.
Okay.
So at the time of going back, whatever balance is given back to you.
Oh, it goes back into your card.
It goes back. They give you cash.
Oh, as cash.
So that then you don't have problem of change being not available and all these hassles are not there. For the Sangh also it will be helpful, then you don't have to count what is left out, what has come, what has not come and all that kind
of thing. Yeah, it will make easier closing the financial day.
Easier. Mm-hmm. So we are planning to introduce that.
There's one feedback that some families have expressed. For example, if you visit Prashanthi Nilayam as a family and you have young children or children and parents of different genders, sometimes because there's no canteen where you can eat as a family because we have separate for men and separate for women. Are there any plans in the offing to facilitate that kind of dining?
Not at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because there basically is a question whether it's really required or not required. So the people who are coming as a devotees coming from outside, mm-hmm. once they have got a family, they are given a room inside the ashram. Mm-hmm. So they can as well purchase from canteen and inside. You go to your room and eat it.
I see.
Second thing is sometimes the students at that time once in a very rare occasions, parents come. So their number is also very less. Mm-hmm. So they sit in the park and take it. And second thing is, I believe whatever Swami has does it, mm-hmm. it has got a lot of spiritual backgrounds, a spiritual purpose.
Definitely.
We may not be able to understand all that, why Swami has done particular thing, why he has not done a particular thing. So we believe whatever Swami has done is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
we are going to adhere to that.
We are going to adhere to that.
Great. Now going forward, are there any plans to expand your services or bring greater comfort to devotees visiting?
Yeah, we are trying to improve the facilities as much as possible. If you look at the South Indian canteen, it is 365 days a day they are working.
Yes.
And almost 24 hours a day, because there is no time for them even to maintain the canteen properly.
Mm.
There is no holiday. So recently now we refurbished the total canteen at a cost of about 1.5 crore rupees to improve the hygiene of the things. Of course, the other quality improvement depends upon the demand. Now the various foreign devotees are looking for the internet facility inside the ashram.
I see.
So that they don't have to go outside the ashram.
Hmm.
So that they can communicate better and all that, a cheaper rate and all that. So we are trying to introduce a internet system in the telephone booth, what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can communicate
better.
It will
be so convenient, one place to do everything.
Yeah.
Under one roof, right inside the ashram.
That is our idea. And of course, the other facility depends upon the demand. Once demand is there, automatically supply also goes up with respect to that.
Very nice. Would you like to add anything else for our listeners to know about the Bhakta Sahayak Sangha?
Anyway, as I mentioned, another one important thing is vibhuti. We prepare the vibhuti shed.
Yes.
See, the vibhuti, we supply it, the packing is done by a lot of devotees. So while doing the packing, small packing, they sing, they chant the bhajans.
Oh,
while chanting the bhajans, they prepare the vibhuti packets. So, the vibhuti itself is powerful, and the packing is done with the chanting of songs and Swami's bhajans and all that.
It makes it even more powerful.
No, it makes it more powerful. So, what I want to tell all the people is, even if you have 1 hour free time, you can come and do their service.
Where should they go if they like to volunteer?
They can come to our office. We'll guide them.
Okay.
We got a separate shed for preparation, packing of vibhuti. We call it as vibhuti shed. They can go there, sit time, any half an hour time, 15 minutes time also available. They can do that service, free service available to all the people. Apart from that, any other area where they would like to give their service, in terms of improving the technology, in terms of improving the facilities, we welcome those people to come and give their help.
Very good. I'm sure our listeners are paying attention, and next time they are in Prashanthi Nilayam and they have little time to spare and they want to offer something at Bhagwan's lotus feet in terms of their services, they will contact the Bhakta Sahayak Sangha for directions.
Sairam, thank you.
Thank you so much,
Sairam,
sir. I think that was some very useful information that you have shared with our listeners. And next time we are enjoying an ice cream or a meal or doing just that last minute shopping at the stores, I think it will be very useful to remember how much of love and hard work goes behind the scenes to keep everything going on with such efficiency. So thank you for being part of Spotlight Prashanthi Nilayam. And dear listeners, you just heard a live studio interview with Mr. Mohan Rao of the Bhakta Sahayak Sangha. The Bhakta Sahayak Sangha is a group that Bhagwan created. It's an umbrella body that runs a large number of services for the comfort and convenience of the vast congregation of Sai devotees who are present in Baba's ashram Prashanthi Nilayam at any given time of the year. Sairam, and thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Sairam, and welcome back. Happy and holy Ugadi, Navri Mubarak to all of you. We are celebrating the new year in many parts of India today, including here in the ashram, and Bhagwan has a wonderful new year's gift for you. For all Radio Sai lovers, this is the time to increase the volume and listen up with full attention. Dear listeners, the Radio Sai tablet is finally here. Yes, Radio Sai tablet is not any medication that you have to swallow. In fact, the Radio Sai tablet is the medicine for the soul that you can consume through your ears and your eyes. The Radio Sai tablet is a 7-inch Android tablet that runs on ice cream sandwich operating system, whatever that is, but it sure sounds very delicious to me. Ice cream sandwich operating system. And wait till you hear more. It is preloaded with a specially made Radio Sai app. So with the simple press of a button, you can tune in to the various streams of Radio Sai. Now, for example, press 1 and you have Asia stream playing instantly. Press 2 for Divine Discourse stream and press 3 for Bhajan stream and so on, and I'm sure you get the picture. You can connect to the internet on this tablet either through Wi-Fi or 3G dongles or USB internet devices. Now, if internet is not your thing, it's still cool because our tablet also comes with 2GB of preloaded content. What exactly is this preloaded content, you want to know? It simply means that even without internet, you can listen to a minimum of 47 hours worth of a wide selection of our best programs. These include 108 top of the charts bhajans from the mandir, some of our most inspiring interviews with devotees and Sai students, study circles, SSE radio lessons, concerts, and even Swami's videos for your viewing pleasure. And don't forget, all this is available even without the internet. It's already there on your tablet. These are ready to enjoy programs, and you can access them the moment you buy the tablet, without the internet as well. Another cool feature is the screensaver with beautiful pictures of Swami that play in the background when you listen to Radio Sai online or if you listen to it offline, that is the content in the tab. Now for the techies, here's some information that might concern you. This tablet comes with 4GB storage expandable via micro SD to 32GB. That means you can download an enormous amount of content from our website and make your own playlist of favorite programs. Again, if internet is not your thing, then you can pick and choose your favorite programs from our website, which you can download and add to its preloaded collection. Then you can enjoy listening to them at your leisure. The tablet can also be used for other purposes, such as, like any other Android tablet, such as mails and browsing. And yes, it's being sold for 4,500 rupees only at the Sai Blossom store in the ashram. If you want one, tell your friends and family visiting Prashanthi Nilayam to pick it up from our store pronto, as they are likely to sell like hotcakes from our bakery. Finally, all those Radio Sai World Space Receiver set woes are done and dusted. Everyone can enjoy Radio Sai wherever they are, with or without internet connection. Now, how do you like that for an Ugadi gift from Swami? Pretty cool, eh? On that exciting note, dear listeners, it's now time for today's feature presentation, a brand new episode of another in-house Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview. Under the spotlight today is my colleague, Brother Raghuram Bhatt. Just a few weeks ago, I sat down for a detailed conversation with Raghu, who incidentally hosts the next segment on Thursday Live, that is Service Love in Action. Raghuram Bhatt also produces radio documentaries, conducts interviews, records announcements, and most importantly, Raghu is a detail-oriented audio editor who edits programs such as our very popular Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories series. Raghu's contribution to the Radio Sai team is invaluable, but it assumes greater significance in light of the fact that Raghu is differently abled. Despite being confined to a wheelchair with practically no movement below the waist, and very limited hand movement, Raghu is a productive, creative and jolly member of the Radio Sai team. Life wasn't always like this for Raghu. Till his teenage years in Baba's College, he was a strapping, athletic young man ever on the move. In this interview, Raghu speaks of life before the swimming accident in the river Chitravati and of his painful journey through paralysis, surgeries, rehab, and of coming to terms with the sudden physical disability. Just listening to him explain his tenacity to break barriers associated with physically challenged persons was a very moving and humbling lesson for me. I know this interview will bring a lot of hope to many and will serve as the ultimate reality check for those who whine over little problems in life. This is a three-part interview and I'm happy to play part one for you today. Isn't it ironic how we often overlook real-life heroes around us and go seeking inspiration from external sources? Today, it's my pleasure to welcome another member of the RadioSite team to this Fleeting Moments interview, who I believe is a hero in his own right. My colleague, Brother Raghu, has been through a lot in his young life, and today, his life is positioned on the line that most people can only talk about and intellectualize. The humbling and creative alchemy that happens when faith meets human experience and encounters its stark and unpleasant realities and changes it and is changed by it. Raghuram Bhatt joined Swami's school at Aliki, Karnataka in the year 2001 for his 11th grade studies. After completing his high school there, in the year 2003, Raghu joined the Brindavan campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning for a bachelor's degree in science. 5 years later, in 2008, Raghu started working for RadioSai. He audio edits content, produces programs such as Serving in the Name of Sai. He hosts the segment Service Love in Action on Thursday Live. Raghu conducts interviews and voices over many announcements. His is a very familiar voice for most RadioSai listeners. But hardly anyone can guess the journey that Raghu has been through in his young life to get here. On November 8, 2005, when Raghu was in his final year of BSc at Baba's Brindavan College, he was involved in a major swimming accident in the river Chitravati, causing him spinal cord injury that has left him paralyzed below his shoulders, with no hand-finger movement and minimal hand function. In medical terms, his condition is called quadriplegia. In a trice on that fateful day, his life turned upside down. After years of treatment, operations and rehabilitation work, the manner in which Raghu has adapted to his restricted life in a wheelchair overturns our assumptions about disability and the way in which we gauge the potential of physically challenged persons. Raghu's faith in Bhagwan Baba has played a major role in who he is today. And it is now my pleasure to welcome Raghu to this conversation. Sairam Brother Raghu, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories on RadioSai.
Thank you very much, Sister Karuna. Sairam to you and Sairam to all the listeners of RadioSai.
Dear listeners, by now hearing Raghu's greeting, I'm sure you have placed his voice because he's very often heard on RadioSai. So Raghu, how were you introduced to Swami?
At the very outset, to begin with, I would like to pray to Bhagwan to speak through me today.
And through me as well.
Before I tell how I was introduced to Swami, I would like to tell about the place and the person who were instrumental in bringing me to Swami's fold.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows there are two institutions, Aliki and Mudinalli, which are run by the Sri Satyasai Lokaseva Trust. Mr. Gangadhar Bhatt is the chairman of this trust and he is related to me. He is my father's father's, that is my grandfather's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He is my granduncle. So in my childhood, whenever I used to go home to my native place, I used to meet him. It was the same house, but he used to stay at a small cottage in Aliki. It was called Prema Kutir. Because the elders of Aliki used to stay together in that place. And they were called as Tyagajivis by Swami. Tyagajivis means men of sacrifice. So during functions, festivals, he used to come to our native place and I used to meet him quite often. And he had come to Bhagwan way back in the year 1963. I feel very unfortunate that I came to Bhagwan only in the year 2001, even though my granduncle had come way back in the year 1963.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, as Swami will, Swami has his own plan for everyone.
But didn't his intense closeness with Swami and devotion to Swami, didn't it trickle down to the rest of the extended family?
No, it never happened.
Oh, I see.
At home, he rarely spoke about Swami and no one were interested actually at home, at our native place. So whenever I used to go to native place, my mother used to introduce me to him, and my mother used to tell that he is a Sai Baba devotee, and there is a school at Alike, it's a Swami school, Sai Baba school. Like that time we used to call Sai Baba, We didn't know about Swami. The Alike school was very well known for its academics.
Mm-hmm.
It was like whoever joins the school, it's a residential school. Whoever joins the residential school, they'll get very good marks and they'll come out with flying colors.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my 7th grade. It was the year 1997 or 98. And I was not good at studies. So my mother wanted me to join this school so that I become good at studies and come up with good marks in the exam. So I told, okay, I'll join. For Alike school, they take boys only for 5th grade, 8th grade or 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was ready to join for 8th grade. Then my grand uncle told, see, you have to write an exam and interview. All those things, formalities will be there. Only if you clear that, you'll get a seat. So, I wrote exam, interview was over. But I didn't get a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that time my ambition was to get good marks. And I was not thinking about Swami and all. My father was working for central government in the Department of Telecommunication. On that year, he got transferred to Northeast India, to the city of Shillong, which is the capital of the state Meghalaya.
Mm-hmm.
So father told, we all have to shift there. But I was feeling disappointed that I didn't get a seat. Then father told, no problem, we'll try for 11th grade. Then I told, okay. So we all once before leaving to Shillong, we went to Mr. Gangadhar Bhatt, who, as I told you, is my granduncle. And we told him that we are leaving and we'll come back for 11th grade and try. Then he told, yes, you come back and try. Then he told some things about Swami. He told, see, Swami is divine. He is God. Only if he wills, somebody can join this school. Otherwise, it won't happen. And for that, you have to pray to Swami. Well, that time, when he told Swami is divine and he is God, it just didn't register to me that how can a human being be God? How can a human being call himself as God? So I didn't bother about it. But he told to pray to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are coming from a very strict orthodox Brahmin family. And in my childhood, after my Upanayanam, I used to do Sandhya Vandanam every evening. Sandhya Vandanam is that we chant Gayatri Mantra and Panchakshari Mantra, that is Om Namah Shivaya, for some certain counts.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do it very mechanically, but... So what happened is my mother told, see, you pray to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. What's wrong? You're not going to lose anything. You may gain something. She told, see, when you're doing Sandhya Vandanam, you also chant Swami's name, Om Shri Satya Sai Baba Namaha. So mechanically...
You were doing that chant also.
Om Shri Satya Sai Baba Namaha. I used to chant Swami's name very mechanically. But as they say, that even the hunter and dacoit Ratnakara chanted Lord's name very mechanically, but still he was enlightened and became the sage Valmiki. In fact, it seems Ratnakara chanted Lord's name as Mara instead of Rama. Still, it reached the Lord. So... I was also at that time, didn't know anything about Swami, but as I said, while doing the Sandhya Vandanam, I just chanted Swami's name since my mother told me to do it.
Mm.
But that time also I never believed Swami is God, all those divine things. I just believed Swami is a spiritual guru.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how Baba Ramdev is, mm-hmm. or Sri 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 Ravi Shankar
like
Guruji
a holy
is.
Person.
Yeah, just a holy person. Then, in the year 2000, it was February 1st, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my 10th grade. And next year I was supposed to apply for Alike.
Mm-hmm.
So on February 1st, 2000, in a newspaper I saw Swami's photo. And it was written that one day back or 2 days back, that is on January 30th or 31st, Swami had come to Alike.
Oh.
It was written that at around 9 o'clock, Swami had come to Alike in a helicopter. Swami had blessed all the boys, all the staff there, and had left back to Prashant Nilayam at around 3 o'clock.
He came to the Aliki school.
Aliki school, yeah.
Okay, not to the town of Aliki.
No. Aliki school in a helicopter.
Hmm.
It came in newspaper, Swami's photo and the details. Like, even that time I didn't believe Swami is God. So, I was like thinking, why these spiritual gurus simply publicize their name and fame? They just put their photo. What's the big deal if Swami has come to Aliki or has gone somewhere?
Hmm.
Like, I used to think, they just publicize, they want name and fame and publicity. So that's why they do all these things.
Hmm.
Like, when I'm telling now, I feel very bad that...
But you had strong opinions as a young man. You were only in grade 10 at that time.
Yeah, I feel very bad. No. I shouldn't have had that thought, actually.
I guess you were a teenager. Teenagers are supposed to have strong opinions. It's all right.
Okay. So, that thought came to me. So why I'm telling this is, that was the thinking in me about Swami at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Then for 11th grade, I tried and I got seat.
Made it to Aliki school.
Yeah, Aliki school. In Karnataka, 11th and 12th are known as pre-university college, first year and second year.
Yeah.
So I joined the first year pre-university college in Aliki.
Mm-hmm. But you joined without any faith in Swami, obviously, at that time. You were still critical of the founder of the school.
In fact, I joined Aliki school only for academics. I wanted to go for engineering stream.
Mm-hmm.
And Aliki school was very well known for its academics. In the past few batches, many boys had passed out with good marks and they had got a very good rank in the CET, that is Common Entrance Test for Engineering and Medical.
I see.
So with that aim, I just joined Aliki for 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was afternoon when I joined Aliki hostel. It was very nice, very good place, very serene atmosphere, and something was divine in the environment. A lot of greenery was there. It was a rural area and I liked the place very much. Like, as I told, we come from an Orthodox Brahmin family. So, till then, my picture of God was like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, or Durga, Saraswati, Parvati. Gods and goddesses will have 10 hands, lot of weapons with them, lot of jewelry they'll be wearing. There will be a golden crown in their head. They'll be sitting in some fearful animals or tiger or lion or something like that. So, my thinking of God was like that. My picture of God in mind was like that. So, a God in human form, it just didn't register to me at all. And I never believed it. How can God come down as a man?
Yeah.
So, the first day, it was evening, seniors told me that there will be a bhajan session in the prayer hall. So, I was moving to the prayer hall. I thought bhajan session means there will be some puja or worship. Lot of pictures of gods and goddesses will be there, photos, and one priest will be sitting and he'll be doing
performing some rituals.
Yeah, performing some rituals. So I entered the prayer hall and I was made to sit at one place according to room wise it was. Then I saw the altar. I was just shocked. There was one huge life-size photo of Swami at one side, and another huge life-size photo of Shirdi Sai Baba on another side, and one empty chair in between. And bhajan started. Like, I thought, oh my God, what is this? For the next 2 years, am I going to pray to Sai Baba? There is no God's photo. Am I not going to pray to God? What is this? That thought came to me.
Because your Brahmin sensibilities were very different.
Yeah. Then there is an empty chair. What is this? All those
things. Who is going to sit there? Some invisible God.
Yeah. But since my aim was engineering at good marks and good rank in the CET, I just thought, okay, let it be.
Let it pass.
Yeah. 2 years will pass just like that. Then bhajan session went on. And bhajans were very nice. I was attracted. In fact, there was one Sarvadharma bhajan. So I thought, okay, at least they're singing God's bhajans. Because that time I used to believe in Muslim God, Christian God, that is Jesus, Allah, everything. But a God in human form, I just couldn't believe it. And after the bhajan session, all the second years were told to go to their respective rooms and only the newcomers were told to sit, and one elderly person, he used to give a talk. And this went on like this for 1 month. And he used to speak on Swami, about Swami's childhood, about Swami's leelas, miracles, the different episodes in his childhood. The episodes like Swami had taken his friends to Hanuman temple and they wanted to circumambulate the statue of Hanuman, but Hanuman appears himself and prostrates at young Satya and stops him and his friends were wonderstruck. So episodes like that, and one more episode where Swami was in class and the teacher makes Swami stand up on a bench for some reason. When the bell rings, the teacher won't be able to get up off his seat, and only when he makes Swami come down the bench, he will be able to get from his seat. So small miracles like that, they used to tell all of us, all the newcomers. After the bhajan session, the elders used to speak to the newcomers. So in that 1 month time, they spoke about Swami's life, the whole Satyam Shivam Sundaram, four parts.
What was the impact of it on you?
Yeah, I was very much amazed. And slowly the transformation, I think, began. I started believing that, okay, there is a lot of miracles happening. And I was open-minded. Like, I didn't close my mind thinking that, okay, these are not true. In fact, I started reading some other books of Swami. Like, I read two books during that time. One is Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat, and another is Anyata Sharanam Nasti. So I also did my research about Swami.
Independent research.
Yeah.
The journalist in you was budding already.
So I was open-minded. So it used to happen that the second years were brought to Puttaparthi for the occasion of Guru Purnima. That is on July. And the first years were brought to Puttaparthi in a bus for Swami's birthday.
So he came in November.
That is after 6 months. So in that 6 months, I did all my research about Swami. I read those two books and
investigated.
Even though my aim was to go for engineering, still I used to see, okay, let us see what is Swami's life, and they say he is God. Okay, let me see all those things. I used to think. For the occasion of Swami's birthday, it was 76th birthday. We were brought to Prashant Nilayam. If I remember, it was 21st of November, 2001. I was in my 11th grade and we came here to Prashant Nilayam for the first time.
What was your first impression when you came to Prashanti?
Yeah, that's what I will tell you. That day morning, we all came to Sai Kulanthal, and Sai Kulanthal was fully decorated for Swami's birthday. Like, lot of lightings and lot of flowers and festoons everywhere, Swami's photo, lot of decorations. So when I entered Sai Kulanthal, I just felt as if I have entered heaven. Some divine experience came to me. Alike boys were made to sit next to the old students' block in the Sai Kulanthal, and people were all seated, the devotees, and boys were just moving here and there, and there was pin drop silence, and I just felt I have come to heaven. So that was the experience when I first entered Sai Kulanthal. Then we all were seated. It was around 6:30 in the morning. That time Swami used to come early, very early, for darshan. And at around 7 o'clock, soft instrumental bhajans started, music in the background. And everyone turned their heads towards one direction. And I didn't know what's going to happen. So I also turned to that direction. So for some time I couldn't see anything. And after some time, I could see Swami slowly gliding with his orange robe and crown of hair. In his left hand with bunch of letters, and in his right hand, he is holding his robe and slowly gliding in the Sai Kulanthal, blessing the devotees, taking the letters from devotees, sometimes creating vibhuti and distributing it. And slowly Swami was coming near our group, where we were seated. I was seated somewhere behind. Then Swami came in front of our group and stood. My granduncle was sitting right in the front, and Swami spoke to him some things. And he was looking at all of us, and there was a beautiful smile in his face, and he was very happy. As if, like, when children come back home after a long vacation, mothers will be very happy. So it was something like a mother's love for everyone. In fact, Swami's love is thousand mothers' love. When I saw Swami, as I was open-minded, I read a lot about Swami. I just believed in Swami, that he is God in human form. So that day itself, I believed in Swami, that he is God in human form, and from that day onwards, there was no doubt about it.
Just the smile did it for you?
And I had done my research, as I told you.
You were primed to accept the truth.
Yeah.
And I guess the setting was just perfect. You were in this heavenly hall, and then he came gliding. So together, it just helped you to reach your conclusion.
So that was on 21st November, 2001.
2001.
I was in my 11th grade. In fact, 2 days later was Swami's 76th birthday. And on 76th birthday, that was on 23rd November, something nice happened. I came inside Sai Kulanthal, and the decorations were same, but there was one extra banner everywhere, and that banner read Radio Sai. And I was seeing, what is this Radio Sai? Everywhere it's there. And in front of Swami, there was a big poster, and it was written Radio Sai Global Harmony. And we were given a pamphlet, and in that pamphlet, it was written that that day was the inauguration of Prashanthi Digital Studio, the Radio Sai Global Harmony.
And you were a grade 11 student. Little did you know how your destiny was going to be plugged into this.
Very little did I know that one day I'll be a part of the Radio Sai. And the proceeding started, and the Professor Venkatraman sir started speaking, and he prayed to Swami to press a button, and Swami pressed, and after a few seconds, soft music started playing, and there were some announcements and all those things. So that was the inauguration of Radio Sai formally, and I feel very lucky and fortunate to be present in the Sai Kulanth Hall on that day of Radio Sai's inauguration.
So after grade 11, you went back Baba devotee, and you had one more year of studying, but wasn't your ambition to be an engineer in the long term? How then did you end up in Brindavan College to take a BSc? Why did you join Swami's college instead of going to a professional engineering college?
Even in my second year, I wanted to do engineering only. But that time, I had believed in Swami that he is God. Now, in Alike school, what used to happen is, very often the elders used to speak to boys, and they used to tell about Swami. In fact, few guests used to come, Swami's devotees, long-standing devotees, and they used to speak to us. One day, one very long-standing devotee had come, and he spoke to us, and he told, again, he started with, Swami is God in human form. Now, God has descended on earth for the sake of the entire humanity. And he has built educational institutions. And what else you need but to join the university? Mm-hmm. If you join the university, then you are in the hands of God. Your future becomes God's responsibility. What else do you need than that? Like, God has taken the responsibility of your future. God is ready to take the responsibility of your future, and he has come down to earth. So when he was speaking on those lines, my conscience also started telling me that yes, what he is speaking is really true. When God has come down on earth, what are we doing but we have to go to him. We have to try our best to go near him. Because from our childhood, we have been praying to God, whom we are not seen. We go to temple, church or mosques to worship. Now God himself has come down. So what else we should do but to go near him? That was my thought. And there were many other boys who wanted to join Swami's college, and I was one among them. And I told my parents that I wanted to join, but my parents were a little bit reluctant. They told, why all this? Even my relatives also tried to brainwash me by telling, you go for engineering, you'll get a good job, a fat salary, all those things. But I was not worried about what relatives say, but I had to convince my parents. So I told them what this person had told, that Swami is God and all those things. You also should come to Swami. When God has come down on earth, we should not waste our time on pretty things. Then my mother was convinced, but father was still not so much convinced, but he gave the permission for me to join. Then that time I went to my grand uncle Gangadhar Bhatt sir, and I told him that I have made my mind to join Swami's college, and he was very happy. Like in our entire family, no one had come to Swami, and he was very glad that you are at least making an effort to come near Swami. I am very happy that he told, and that's how I joined Vrindavan campus.
What were your first 2 years in Vrindavan like?
After joining Vrindavan campus, my aim was to do BSc, MSc and M.Tech. I liked the subject mathematics, so I wanted to take mathematics as the main subject and wanted to do M.Tech. So that I may stay more years with Swami.
So I wanted to prolong your education stay.
Before entering Vrindavan actually, again, the picture of Swami's students and Swami and Swami's hostel in my mind was like that of gopis and gopalas in Dwapara Yuga. I used to think, okay, all boys, everyone will be very divine, and Swami will talk to each and everyone. But when I joined Vrindavan campus, it was not exactly like that. I used to ask my seniors, has Swami spoken to you? Has Swami spoken to you? Will he speak to me? Will he speak to me? All those things. And some seniors used to tell, yeah, Swami has spoken to me. And some used to tell, no, Swami hasn't spoken to me till now. It has been many, many years, but still Swami hasn't spoken to me. Such things slightly used to disappoint me. Like, oh, even after many years of studying in Swami's school, Swami hasn't spoken to you. Okay, so that means you need some qualification like that. Something I used to think. But some unfortunate thing had happened that time. On first week of June that year, that was 2003, when I had joined the Vrindavan campus, Swami was in Vrindavan and Swami had a fall. And he had a hip fracture. And after that, I don't think Swami ever came walking for darshan. Swami was always on wheelchair. So for about 1 week or 10 days, there was no darshan. After joining Swami's college, there was no darshan. That was very painful for me. Then one day, Swami called all boys, Vrindavan boys, to Thrai Vrindavan, where Swami was residing. And we all went inside Thrai. The Thrai Vrindavan, the hall is circular, and we all were standing there. And Swami was upstairs. So Swami was looking down from upstairs. And there was a smile, beautiful smile in his face, and he was very happy that his children have come to see him. And he blessed every one of us. And later I came to know that Swami that time was using a walker and he had a lot of pain because of hip fracture. And it seems he had also told that Noppu undi kani suffering ledu. Means there is pain but there is no suffering. In fact, this statement inspired me a lot later when I had to face my challenges of life.
And Swami maintained the same statement right till the end.
Yes. The Vrindavan days were nice. In fact, I didn't get much chances of interaction with Swami. The first year went on well. During summer, I think 2004, March end, Swami had come back to Vrindavan. And he was staying in Thrai's Vrindavan. So, we had 2 months of vacation. And I came to know that during vacation, some boys stay back in the hostel because they want to be with Swami. So, I thought, okay, let me also stay back for a few days. So I stayed back for 15 days of my vacation. And it was nice. There were a few boys who stayed back. And we all used to have close darshan of Swami. And Swami used to speak to many boys. But he didn't speak to me that time. And all students have a unique chance to go near Swami with a tray full of cashew nuts or dry fruits during their birthday. And get it blessed from Swami. Give a letter to Swami and take Pad Namaskar. This was a unique chance. My birthday fell during the vacation. So I won't be there that time. So whosoever birthday fell on vacation, they could take the chance during other times. So I thought, okay, let me take this birthday chance. So April 1st week, I went to Swami with a tray full of dry fruits and I had written a letter. In fact, with me, there were many other birthday boys. So Swami came to us on a wheelchair. Swami was very happy that time. Swami blessed all of us, took letters from all of us, blessed the dry fruits which we had kept on the tray and gave Pad Namaskar to all of us. And Swami was looking at all of us smiling. But when he looked at me, there was slight concern in his face. I don't know what it means, but I feel there was slight concern in his smile also. But I was very happy that Swami has blessed me. In fact, I always looked at Swami as God. And I was very, very happy that, yes, God himself has touched me and I got Pad Namaskar of the Lord of the universe himself. And I called my parents and told them. They were also happy. There is another unique chance which is given to all the boys, that is to offer aarti to Swami after bhajan session. So I also got one chance. Then talking about Vrindavan days, what attracted me in Swami's institution is the Gram Seva that happens for maybe 1 week or 10 days during the occasion of Dasara, where Swami sends all the boys to the villages around Puttaparthi, and boys go to the villages around Puttaparthi with Swami's prasadam. food prasadam, laddu and tamarind rice, and clothes. For women folk, it is sari, and for gents, it is dhoti. So I was very much taken aback with this activity.
Right. Was it your first time going into a deep Indian village?
Yes, it was first time.
So that's when you saw what it's really like.
Yeah, the real village life. In fact, it said 70% of India lives in villages. So I saw the real India. How poor the villages were. They didn't have proper shelter. And the Gram Seva activity really attracted me a lot. In fact, till that time, I really had ambition to get good education and to stay as much as possible with Swami and get a good job outside and live a normal life. But it was the Gram Seva which changed my entire thinking. I thought, okay, if 70% of India lives in villages and if this is the condition of villages where they don't have proper shelter, food, clothing, why are we living in big bungalows or flats outside? It's our duty to help these villagers. In fact, even many elders used to give a lot of talks on service and they used to give a lot of examples, and those talks transformed me very much. I would say that that is one of the unique activity which makes Satyasai University very quite different from other universities. I don't think any other university in the entire world
does this sort of thing.
Yeah. Will have
as part of their syllabus and curriculum, nobody else has it. I'm pretty confident of that. This is the service-driven, hands-on, experiential learning.
Some may ask, okay, once in a year you go to a village and you give food and clothing.
For 10 days,
Yeah, what big deal it will make for a person who will receive just food and clothing once in a year? Like the answer is, the impact is on both the villagers and on the students. Like villagers get a confidence that there is someone who is there to take care. Even if it is once in a year, they get the satisfaction and happiness that there is Bhagwan who is there to always think about us. And the impact that the Gram Seva has on the students is really tremendous. I think because of Gram Seva, many of the students, after passing out from Swami's University, go to their respective places and do a lot of service activities, take up a lot of service activities. I'm sure it is because of Gram Seva only.
Very big ripple effect it has.
Yes.
Yeah.
In my Vrindavan days, the Gram Seva attracted me the most.
Sai Ram, and welcome back. You just heard part one of this three-part Fleeting Moments interview with Radio Sai's Raghuram Bhatt. Dear listeners, I urge you to stay tuned to part two next week, right here on Morning Glory, as that is when Raghu walks down memory lane to revisit the simple swimming adventure, or rather misadventure, that turned into a nightmare. Meanwhile, please feel free to share your feedback with us. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. I'm happy to inform you that you can enjoy listening to over 150 or maybe even more such interviews on our website, radiosai.org/Sai Students. Sai Students being one word. Thank you for tuning in to Morning Glory on the 11th of April 2013. Today is Ugadi and Navre, and here is wishing you a great new year ahead from all of us at Team Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam. It's now time for me to bid you Sai Ram and to offer Morning Glory at the Lotus Feet. This is a very grateful Karuna, signing off and thanking you for your company. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking and stay inspired. I now hand you over to my colleague, Brother Raghuram Bhatt, whose interview you just heard. And don't forget, I'll bring you part two of that conversation next week on Morning Glory. Till then, Sai Ram.